then too, I don't know if we'd be learning the Musar Seder tonight if not for his suggestion many years ago that we do it. Shmuel Beis, David HaMelech. Thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that Malchus Beis David will never cease from Klal Yisrael. And he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an interesting way. He says, now that you've told me that from me is going to come Shlomo HaMelech, who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, and Malchus Beis David will be with Klal Yisrael forever. V'atiktan oit zois be'inecho Hashem lokim v'atidaber gam el beis avdecho l'meirochok. You spoke to the house of your Eved, I, David, and showed me from a distance. V'zois toiras ha'odom Hashem elokim. And this is toiras ha'odom. You showed me life from a longitudinal perspective. V'zois toiras ha'odom. And this is the toiras ha'odom. What David HaMelech is saying is something extremely, extremely profound. If you want to know what toiras ha'odom is, toiras ha'odom, Torah that represents everything, histakel b'oraisa u'bara alma, is the ability to perceive life merachok, both the way in which you look at life and your ability to connect with Kudsh HaBrich Hu, who's the ultimate perspective of rachok, who sees everything. When I was your age and I was starting in college, I remember the first few days of orientation. The current was so powerful. So powerful. In fact, the first thing I thought I wanted to do before I go become a psychologist is I thought these really, really bright guys who were originally planning to go to Ivy League schools and then in Israel they decided, b'diavad, they'll go to YU. And really, really, some of them really, really special people. And the excitement and the allure to get into a top law school, to go for 180, 190 LSAT. It was an extremely, extremely powerful thing. In fact, even in those days, we were encouraged to learn a lot of the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Hecht used to say that the best way to get the best score in on the LSATs is Gemara. So there was this powerful push to finish YU fast, even to learn, but to finish YU fast, to get a high score in the LSAT, go to a great law school. At worst, I thought I was an imposter. I was a boy from Brooklyn. I didn't get into any Ivy League school. And you sometimes you could lead your life and leave it almost as a faker. You know, they say the following story. They say that there was a Hasidic kid in Borough Park. Nebuch had a Yetzirah that he wanted to have a television. So he's planning to buy. This is the old days, before he had phones. So he's planning to buy a television and hide it somewhere in the garage from his parents. So he goes into a store in Borough Park and he says to the owner, I'd like to buy the... He points up to one of the boxes and he says, I'd like to buy a television. So the owner of the store says, so a Hasidic Bachar, we don't sell televisions. Okay. So unfortunately, what does he do the next day? He cuts down his pace a little. And he doesn't look so Hasidic anymore. He goes in again to another store in Borough Park, and the guy says then the same thing to a Hasidic Shabbat, we don't sell a television. He goes to a third store, and by the time he's gone, the third store repeats again, by the time he's gone to the fourth store, he doesn't look like a Jew at all. He's taken off his yarmulke. And now he's convinced, finally, they'll sell it to him. So he goes into the store, and the fellow still says, we don't sell to a Hasidic Shabbat. So he says to him, why do you think that I'm a Hasidic Shabbat? Bacher, he says, you were pointing to the microwave. So sometimes, you know, you're an imposter. You know, as much as you dress up, at the end of the day, it's not who you are. But at best, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me a bracha, and I wasn't able to keep up. But sometimes, what happens is, we don't have the bracha if we don't grab ourselves and say, wait a second, is this current, is what's pushing me, what is absolutely the most central way in which I'm going to achieve what I can, the merachok? And therefore we have to ask ourselves the following question. How can we maintain zeh sefer ha'odom, that we really, really live life seeing it from the broadest perspective? And Be'ezer Hashem tonight, I'd like to share with you a three-stage process. Most of it's built on the Mesillas Yesharim, on the Ramchal himself. Number one, the first step is we need to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the world a tremendous Yetzirah for superficiality, a very, very deep Yetzirah. And that Yetzirah for superficiality applies in two different ways. Number one, it's the world of Gashmias. In the world of materialism, we are pulled towards that which is most corporeal, which is what is most esoteric, what is the way in which we relate to the things that are loftiest, are harder for us to access. And then there's something even deeper. Not only the struggle against the Yetzer Hara, but there's also something that is even more subtle that fights us in the Beis Medrash itself. The Sefer Mesillas Yesharim is built on a Sefer that preceded it. And that's called the Sefer Vikuach. The Sefer Vikuach is a discussion, even a fight, that's literally what Vikuach means, between the Chacham and the Chassid. And what Ramchal does is he points out a Chacham in Torah is not the essence in Avodas Hashem. It's the Chassid. And it's a debate between the Chassid and the Chacham. For those of you who are learning Mesillas Yesharim, I highly encourage you to read the Sefer Vikuach. And basically what the Chassid points out is a tremendous hypocrisy of the Chacham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Va'ata ma Hashem lokecha shoyl me'imach kiim liyiras Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest demand, the first few mitzvahs, and the Rambam say for our mitzvahs, are all yiras Hashem and avas Hashem. And he says to the Chacham, how much time have you spent in the Beis Medrash working on avas Hashem and yiras Hashem? And how much time have you spent being medayik in the sugya, the mesechta that you're learning? And he points out that the Chacham has really never thought about the essence of his relationship with Kudsh Brich Hu. Lo nitna teira elo letzarif es habriyos. In other words, one could live a life of superficiality in Torah. You know, they say that the Baba Sali once had a shayla came to him in his small minyan. There were only 9 people, and a man had brought his son. So it's a well-known question whether you could use a child who's under the age of bar mitzvah as a 10th person. So the father came over to Baba Sali, can my son be mitzarif as the 10th? So the Baba Sali said to him, ask him if he knows who he's davening to. Because if the child knows that he's davening to Hashem, according to some poskim, you're able to be mitzarif. So he asked the boy, who do you daven to? So the boy says, the shtender. So he goes back to the Baba Sali, and the Baba Sali says, now we need 2 people for the meeting. Me too. The father is davening to the shtender. How much of our avodas Hashem is davening to the shtender? Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal used to ask kids at this time of the year something very, very fascinating. In Yesh La'ayin in the Sipur. It's a fascinating story. Reb Shlomo Zalman used to ask boys after the Seder, he said, did you ask some questions? The boy said, yes. These are about kids, 8, 9, 10 years old. Bright boys. They would say, yes, we asked the Manishtan. And what did your father tell you? Avodim Ayinu. He said to the boy, didn't you ask your father that question last year? Didn't you already get the answer? That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Fascinating. And the boys began to try to be mefalpel, to explain. So Rav Shlomo Zalman stopped them. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, the difference between you and me is I was asked this child when I was a kid by Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld asked me the question, I burst out crying. Yesh la'ayim, what did Rav Shlomo Zalman mean, I burst out crying? I think what Rav Shlomo Zalman was driving at is I understood that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld at age 9 was saying to me, are you the same boy that you were at age 8? Is it the exact same manishtana? Is it the exact same avodah mayinu? Push ahead a few years later, I went into our great Rebbe, Rav Nevensal Shlita, Talmud Muvok, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Dischal Moed Pesach, and I asked him, I knew a few of American boys were at his Seder. I said to him, Rebbe, how did the Seder go? And he said to me something very interesting. He said to me, I don't understand why the boys sing manishtana. Thus is us! That's exactly what we're referring to. Manishtana has become a song. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was asking the little Shlomo Zalman, is it the same Manishtana? The previous generation, who are now Magidei Shir Marbitzei Torah, they tried to answer Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. Our generation just sings Manishtana. Everything has become one big superficiality. It bothered Rav Nevensal terribly. The Manishtana has become a song. So step number one is to recognize, even in the sincerest places, the boys who sang Manishtana or Nenzel's house, they had no idea. But it's so natural for us to lead ourselves to a place that's superficial. So that's step number one. That's awareness. Number two is therefore the moment in which we have that awareness, we have to do everything we can to cut to the core of our relationship with Kudsha Brich Hu. The Ramchal continues on in the Sefer Vikuach, and he describes that the Chassid develops to the Chacham. He tells the Chacham. He describes to the Chacham how many people in the world really think about their lives. How many people even spend time learning Torah? How many people who spend time learning Torah really understand what they're learning? How many people who understand where they're learning really ever make it to the place of having a relationship with Kudsha Brich Hu? That the Chassid accuses the Chacham of lacking. He says, that's what you're missing. We go through all the motions. It's a superficiality. I heard from Rav Ozner Shlita, Rav Ozner, the Posek Ador's son, that on Pesach we emphasize Ani Hashem v'lo malach v'lo shliach. What's the problem, al yidei shliach? Shlucho sh'adam is kemoso. Why does it have to be Kudsha Brich Hu and us recognize it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu shliach? It all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer, he said, is because the line between that and Avodah Zarah is very, very, very subtle. You look in the Rambam, in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says Avodah Zarah came into the world not because someone wanted to serve something foreign, but he got confused between the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's so easy to fall. Rav Ozner claimed along these lines that if someone needs a little bit of help, and he's looking for help, for example, he gave an example, someone was looking for a match for his daughter, and there's one shatkin he thinks could really, really help him. And he calls him up and he says, you're the only one who could help me? He says, das heis avodah zarah. That is avodah zarah. You're the only one who could help me? And that's the emphasis, Lela Pesach, going towards Kabbalah Satorah Surah Sa'omer. That's the emphasis. The first hakara is, Ani Hashem v'lo shliach. Because chas v'chalila, if a person doesn't strip to the core of Avodas Hashem, then ultimately they could be doing something else that's not called Avodas Hashem. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, someone who believes that the reason why they earn a livelihood is because they have job X or job Y, the exact same line that Rav Ozner said. That's also a chelek of Avodas Hashem. So step number two is for a person to do everything they can, and it's a challenge to get to the core. of what Avodas Hashem is all about. So number one is the awareness. Number two is an agenda. And number three is a method. The method has two parts. The method has its theory and then it has its practice. My wife put me on the spot. I didn't know what to do. She said to me, Chaim, I've begun to notice that I'm starting to have white hairs. So what am I supposed to say? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a little bit of siyata d'shmaya. And I said to her, I don't have any white hairs. She was taken aback. I said, you have a mediocre husband. So he has white, and you have white hairs. I have a fantastic wife. I don't have any white hairs. Zakhtar Melech Biderman. You know what white hairs represent? The beautiful Yiddishism. A beautiful, beautiful Yiddishism. White hairs are our badge of honor. A different take. Our white hairs are our badge of honor. The Yiddishism goes that when it comes to war, how does a country surrender? You put up a white flag. When we're young, we have all these plans. We have all of these cheshbonos. You know what? The white hairs in the beard of a Talmud Chacham represent? That represent that understanding of surrender to Kudsha Bria. It's surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a surrender where a person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the one who's in control. Oh, the moment a person realizes that, he'll never get confused between the Shliach and the Mishaleach. There will never be a confusion of Ani Hashem, O Chatz V'Chalila Al Yidei Shliach, which ultimately leads to Avodah Zarah. We say in Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are so great, Ma'od Amku Machshavosecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're so great. And we realize that your machshava is so deep. Achronim ask a great kasha. The pasuk then goes on to say, Uchsil lo yavenezos. A fool doesn't understand it. Didn't the pasuk just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thinking is so deep? So what's wrong with the chsil? The chsil says, Uchsil lo yavenezos. He also doesn't understand it. The difference is that a chassid doesn't try to understand, and the fool is the individual who tries to understand. Surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the white in a Jewish beard represents this bechina. So Rabbi said we developed three things to reach the Sefer HaAdam. Number one is awareness that ultimately superficiality is something that's going to dog us and to chase us, both in Gashmis as well as in Ruchnias. Once we have that awareness, there has to be an agenda. The agenda is to cut to the core. The agenda is I'm going to do everything I can to fight against the tide. And it's not easy. And the final part is actually not the fight. The fight becomes the ability to surrender to Kudsh Baruch Hu. That's the method. That's in Hashkafa. That's the way in which one is supposed to look at life. In practical terms, writes the Nefesh HaChaim, the means during one's day, when it's supposed to take time out and think about one's relationship with Kudsh Baruch Hu. It's so easy to go through life, even as a bachur yeshiva. It's so easy to go through life, even as a Talmud Chacham, without truly making a cheshbon hanefesh. It's so easy to go through life to simply follow the crowd. And finally, don't forget what those white hairs represent. What those white hairs represent is our ability to be able to see Merachok. That's all part of the tremendous veneration that we have for Talmidei Chachamim, elderly Talmidei Chachamim. That's all part of Adarta Pnei Zakein. It's all about the understanding that what life is about is not the here and now. What those white hairs represent are the Chachmei HaMesorah, and that perspective that we have, that when we sit and learn, we're not just sitting and learning in the present, we're sitting right now with Maimed Har Sinai. That's the battle. That's the battle against superficiality. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata D'Shmaya, to be able to live Sefer Toldo Sa'odam, and to be able to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim.